story long. Ask an attorney. Just give him a call.
This is Ask an Attorney. All about Ask Florida law attorney. With attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal Ask question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open early this Saturday morning, 8 o'clock. You have a legal question, maybe something you've been worried about all night, thinking about, woke up a few times, wondering what might happen. You want just the answer to a fairly simple question that you've been wondering about. Maybe something is not happening properly in your life and you worry about the consequences and you want to know what the legal recourse might be. Hey, I'm attorney Joe Pippin. It's a live show where you can call in and ask your question. Hopefully we help you and help other people listening to the show with what the answer might be. So your question can be about wills, trust, probate, guardianship, power of attorneys, healthcare surrogates, contract disputes. Could be about government benefits, could be just about any area of law. If you have it could be a personal injury question, could be home repair. We're broadcasting today from Tampa. In the Salem studios, 570-960-930, all of the stations, and some of those have FM components as well. Also might be listening on our Sun City Center station. We have a big event coming up in a couple of weeks there at the Chamber of Commerce host station. So information about that, I'm sure it'll be in the newspaper, but it'll be coming up in just a couple of weeks. I'll be there. Kind of a meet the attorney, meet one of the hosts of the shows on one of the radio stations, or the radio station Sun City Center has a meet the host type of an event coming up, and I'm going to be there speaking. I'll have the exact dates for you on that next week when I come in, the exact date and time. I think it's 1 o'clock on a Tuesday after next, perhaps. But we'll give you the exact date on that. If you want more information about that, you could just email or call me also. Also, we're 90.3 FM out in Central Florida, WV. And 101.1 there in Jacksonville also carries Ask an Attorney. We have a country, have a station also in Pasco County. No matter where you're listening, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Certainly would like to receive your call and try to answer your question to the best of my ability. All you have to do, if you're listening, it's a live show, first show of 2019. You have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. Hey, we're also, if you'd like to watch the show, we're also streaming live on WeBeamTV.com. Excuse me, WeBeamTV.com. And they are in filming the show for a live video stream. So if you're on Facebook, you could also go. I'm streaming it live on Am I Ask an Attorney? Law Offices of Joseph Pippin page, and we'll also republish it on my personal page, I guess, later. But if you'd like to watch and listen, you can do that on WeBeamTV.com or on Facebook. And let me give out the numbers again. The phones are starting to light up here a little bit, but 877-943-9673. If you get if you're in the Tampa area or get the Tampa Bay magazine, There is a feature, a full-page article on myself having the longest-running radio program in Florida. And a little story about how that all started and how long it's been on and a little bit about the show. So if you get the Tampa Bay Magazine, you look for that page. It's called Ask an Attorney. On the, it has a picture of me in a radio studio and an article about the show. Let's go to John in Sarasota. Hey, John. Okay, then we'll put on a slight hold here, but John will be our first caller, I guess. All right, John, go ahead.
My question is about probate.
Probate, okay. Yes, sir.
My wife has a property that she inherited down in Naples, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And just trying to figure out how we can get that put into her name.
All right, so basically, if I were to help you, I would need a will, the original will, an original death certificate, the addresses of the people who are the beneficiaries, and a copy of the deed, although I could probably access the deed on public records if I just had the address.
Now, I don't think there was a will.
Okay. Well, everyone has a will, whether they have. Okay. Well, 2 years have gone by, so that makes it a little bit easier because all the creditor claims now have disappeared.
Yeah.
So was the person that died married?
No.
Entitled to the property, so all I need is a death certificate. I'll prepare a statement that there was no will. And
no.
Give me the address of the property, and we're off and running.
Okay, good. Sounds pretty easy then. Thank
you. It is very much so. And you should, now it's been that long, so are you still getting tax bills for the real estate?
Yeah, we're paying them every year.
Yeah, well, I would say, what's the property worth?
$10,000, $20,000. It's a hard to say. I mean, I'm not sure of the exact appraised value right now.
Okay.
But it's in a it's a residential piece of property where they're building homes.
I see. One of those old communities where they put in the roads and sold lots and never developed them very much.
But they're now starting to develop quite nicely.
Yeah. Well, good. Good. Yeah, we've done a lot of those. I don't think that'd be a problem at all.
Okay, great. And
all right.
I can get you. I'll give your information.
My toll-free office number, which I'll give you, is 1-800-226-3529. Mm-hmm. You could also send me an email with your contact information. I'll give you a call, and we could go from there. So my email, either one, the 1-800-226-3529, or my email is joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com.
Okay, I'll give you a call. Great.
All right, very good.
Thank you.
All right, let's go to Bill in Clearwater.
Good morning.
Hey, Bill.
I'm calling for my girlfriend. I've got a younger girlfriend. And she came to Florida about 5 years ago to take care of her elderly mother. And she lived her mother lived in a 55-plus park. So things have been going fine all along, and her mother passed about 3 months ago, and the mother put the place in her name before passing.
Mm-hmm.
And now the park manager's coming down on her hard for some reason. So you can't live here anymore. You can't own this mobile. You have to leave. And just
okay,
harassing
so they're saying she's not 55, so she can't live there.
She's 52, yeah.
Okay. And the park has no exceptions?
Well, everything's verbal. I can't get anything.
Tell her to tell the manager you would like to see in writing the rules of the park.
Okay. Yeah. Isn't there some calling 80-20 rule?
Yeah,
something?
Well, in some places, doesn't necessarily have to be in all places, but most parks do have a rule like that, and all of that's in writing.
Okay.
So just have her stomp down to the office and demand a copy of the rules and tell them anything else that she wants to tell them to put in writing for their attorney to review.
Okay.
Just don't accept any verbal harassment.
Yeah, I told her that already.
Yeah. Tell her to toughen up and demand to see a copy of the rules, and that the attorney wants her attorney wants to see them, and then y'all choose an attorney to try to help you with this.
Because somebody's already bought in there that's under 50, that's under 55.
Well, see, the ownership. I don't think the ownership can prevent. I mean, you could go in and buy something for your parents, and the parents over 55 living there.
Exactly.
Most of the time, I don't think that would be a rule. But, you know, have her go get the rules and then have somebody sit down with you and review your rights and then make your demands.
Okay. And if it does get turned bad, what's the timeline or what's the next thing that happens?
Well, I mean, there's no automatic set timelines. It depends on the actions the park takes to try to enforce their rights. And then the questions come up, have they enforced these rights on everyone else? How do they make decisions? You can usually buy some time with some good questions. But the first step is to get a copy of the park rules.
Okay, very good.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. By the way, our good friend stations in there in Sun City Center called, and the date of the meet the guests and meet ask an attorney host is January 22nd at 2 p.m. January 22nd in Sun City Center. It's at the Chamber of Commerce building, which is right next to where my office is in Sun City Center. Chamber of Commerce building is in between the Payne Financial Center and the post office, right there off of 674. So if you want to come, it's an open event at the Chamber of Commerce, January 22nd at 2 p.m. And looking forward to that. This will be my second one there. We had a very successful one there last year, and there was lots and lots of people there, so hope for the same type of event this time. Let's go to Joan, or better, hoping for a better event. Let's go to Joan in Kissimmee. Hey, Joan.
Yes, I have a question. My cousin wanted to leave me. I don't know, it was investments or what. The only thing is, it's out of state.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, so...
You mean leave you in their will or trust or whatever document they had?
In their will, yes, in their will.
Okay.
In fact, he had me send my Social Security number to him. So I mailed him a Christmas card and never got a reply from him. I didn't know what happened. So I called and the number just kept ringing. And then I found out that he had... passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And he passed away in April, and nobody notified me or anything. And so what I did is I called the funeral home who handled his funeral and asked who handled it, and he said a nephew had done it. And so I said, could you give me the number? And they said, no, but we can give him your number, and he can call you. And so he did. And he said to me that his girlfriend, he had double pneumonia. He was in the hospital, and this lady friend of his persuaded him on his deathbed to change her for her to be the only one in the will and nobody else but her and him somewhat.
Okay.
And I think there might be some kind of law against deathbed changing wills like that. And,
well,
I mean, we weren't even notified of anything.
All right. What state was this happening in?
In Nebraska.
So what you're going to have to do is to get an attorney in Nebraska and discuss with the attorney the possibility of filing a petition to overturn the will based on undue influence. Undue influence is the most common reason to contest wills. So all the evidence of being on the deathbed, the girlfriend being there with him, persuading him to do this, all this would be discovered in a deposition. And it sounds like you might have a good case for that you should pursue. And so that's what I would recommend. You get an attorney in Nebraska, a probate litigation attorney in Nebraska.
Okay, that's all I want to know. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. listening to Ask an Attorney all about Florida law. You want to know something's not going right in your life, something you don't think is fair, something that's unjust, just like that call. Give us a call. I'd be glad to try to give you an option of what to do. And if you don't have anything quite that severe, but you just have a little nagging problem that's bothering you, I'd love to help you with that too. In fact, it doesn't even have to be a legal problem. It could be just a problem that you need some help and somebody else to talk to. I'd be glad to do that. You have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. And let's go to John in Bradenton.
Morning, Joe.
Hey, John.
It's good to talk with you.
Nice to talk to you, sir.
I currently have some property in my trust. It's titled in the name of the trust. I think the trust was dated somewhere around the 1st of June of 2018. I want to update my trust. And do I have to, I don't want to have to retitle that property when I update my trust.
No, when you do an amendment to the trust, that doesn't change the date or name of the trust for assets registered in the trust. So you don't have to worry about that. You can amend the trust very easily, changing the most common things in a trust to change are who the trustees are and what the distribution is or to who. Those things change. That doesn't change the name and date of the trust or doesn't change the registration of the assets in the trust.
Okay. Do I have to put a, or when I go to my attorney, have, ask him to put a clause in there that this latest trust is, you know,
yeah, you do an amendment. The attorney just asked your attorney to that you wanted to change something in the trust. You want to do an amendment, and you go from there.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Goodbye.
Let's go to Bob in Clearwater.
Good morning, Counselor.
Hey, how are you?
Good. I'm in the city of Clearwater proper, and I have a property line dispute. During one of the past storms, a neighbor's fence, a wooden fence, fell over onto our property, and that was mostly removed. But now he's insisting that we pay for putting a new fence in there on our property line. We do have a small dog and a cat. He has several cats, and he's threatened to cause harm to the cat since the cats sometimes fight. And I'm wondering what our options are there. And I don't really want to spend the money on a...
Is he willing to share the cost of the fence?
At one point he was. Now he's gotten quite antagonistic and belligerent, and we just can't really deal with him too much. So I would like to have a fence there.
So send him a letter telling me you'd be glad to put up a fence and share the cost with him. Don't talk to him. Just send him a letter.
Okay. Well, the last time I spoke to him, he said he wasn't willing to do that and that we would have to put it up.
He can't force you to put up the fence was on your property. You own the fence.
Well, I'm not sure exactly. That's the thing, too. I don't know if I really want to go to the expense of having the property
surveyed.
Line surveyed. I don't know how much that costs, but I think it's a few hundred dollars. And then I think to get it done, I would have to put the whole cost of the expense on my side.
Well, tell him you don't have the money to replace the fence, but you would be glad to try to come up with half the money if he's willing to go in with it. And just put it all in writing.
Okay. All right.
Has the damaged fence been removed?
The rear portion, closer up by the houses, it has not. I don't know if I could even legally remove it, since technically he has put that fence up. He assembled that at first some years ago.
So that fence is on his property?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay. And this is, the fence damage was caused by natural causes?
And age and termites and things.
Yeah, okay.
Well,
yeah. I would just deal with him in writing.
Okay.
Just tell him you don't have the money to replace the fence, but you would be glad to try to come up with the money if he's willing to go in halves with you and see what happens.
Okay. Very good.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. We're a little bit more than almost halfway through the show. And if you'd like to call in and be part of the show today, all you have to do is call our toll-free number, 877-943-9673. And let's go to Kathy calling from Largo.
Good morning, Joe.
Hey, Kathy.
The reason I'm calling this morning is because I have an elderly husband who hasn't been making very good financial decisions and has lost almost $800,000 by the decisions he's made. In the meantime, we did a durable power of attorney, and we've only been married for a short time. But I have about $300,000, and I want to know what I can do.
You have $300,000 just in your name, or is it joint that he has? Is it joint where he can get his hands on it?
It came out of a joint account.
Do you have it in your name now?
Actually, it's not in anybody's name now.
It's got to be in somebody's name, unless it's cash.
Right, it's cash.
Oh, it's cash. Can you turn off your radio?
Yes, it's off.
It's off?
Yes, sir.
All right. So we have a terrible... Can you move to a different location of where you're standing?
Yeah. Let's see here.
We'll just have a bad echo in there.
Okay.
It's from your phone. Can you turn the volume down on your phone?
Yeah, hold on. Did that help?
Yes. A little bit. A little bit more would be better, though.
Okay. How's that?
All right. So you got cash. Does he have access to the cash?
Well, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to know what to do with this cash. So, but in a way that he's not in charge over it.
Well, can you open up an account just in your name?
Well, I don't feel good about that because it's not all of my money.
Well, you could possibly create a trust. The trust could be in his name. And you have his power of attorney, so I'd have to look at the power of attorney to see if the power of attorney allows you to create a trust.
Now, I want to ask you something also. The power of attorney was downloaded. Does it have to be drawn off of an attorney's letterhead to be valid?
No, but I'd have to see it see if it authorizes you to create a trust for his benefit.
Okay, all right. So why don't we make an appointment? We can go over the whole thing.
All right, good. Just call the office on Monday.
All right.
And get on my calendar.
Okay. Can I have that number?
The local number in Pinellas is 586-3306.
All right. Very good, Joe. Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, so let's go to Anna calling from Bradenton. Hey, Anna.
Hello. Hi, good morning. I'd like to ask a question. I don't know if you'd be able to help me because this concerns my sister. She has power of attorney, and she's also a proxy for my mom. But she's in New York, and she wanted to know, would she be responsible when my mom passes on my mother's bills, her medical bills, her credit cards, and
so
forth?
Not unless she's contractually obligated herself now.
No.
So, and the power of attorney is void upon death.
Okay. So, and then she wouldn't be responsible for anything?
No, not personally responsible unless she's contractually signed something that says she's obligated in those bills. She's not, doesn't have any personal liability.
Okay. Now, another question. This is in Florida. A friend of mine had an insurance from his job, and he was out sick for a while, and he's been paying for that insurance for a long time. And now that he wants to collect on it, they told him he couldn't because he did not say that he had a pre-existing condition in the first place, the first time he signed up.
Yeah, if the application was fraudulent, he could have a problem there.
Yeah, but see, the thing is that when he first started that job, they had this company there, and then they let go of this company, and they went to another company. Then they dropped that company and went back to the original company. So he had already had that information in the system, but they're saying because they came back again to his job and got that contract again, he is now considered a new member, and he was supposed to say that he had that pre-existing condition. Now, can they not give him the money? Because all they want to do is to give him back his premiums.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think I can help you with that tangled question there with just a couple of minutes on the radio. So I think you'd have to sit down with an attorney and show them papers and go over the whole thing in a little more detail to get an accurate answer.
Okay. And then I can call, give him 877-943-9673?
No, that's the radio station number.
Oh. All right. Your number?
So the number, 727.
Uh-huh.
586-3306. And I'm not sure I would take that case, but I can try to help him find somebody that practices in that area.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
All right. So let's go to George in Bel Air.
Good morning, sir. Been listening to you for more years than I care to count, and it's a great service. Listen, I've got a small problem. I want to create an educational trust for the great-grandchildren of my oldest brother who just died. I live in Florida. They live in Arkansas and Texas. So I'm just want to know, where's the best place to create that? Does it have to be registered with some state, follow some state's laws, and so which state would it be?
Well, no, since you have multiple states, you could create it in Florida, and it could be governed by Florida law, and the trustee you choose could just implement your directions in the trust. How much money are you thinking about putting in this trust?
$200,000 to $250,000.
Yeah, that's probably not enough for a corporate trustee. I mean, because the fees eat it up quicker than if you just had a CPA or an attorney or somebody like that be an individual trustee.
I have someone in mind to be the trustee.
Okay, and where does that person live?
In Arkansas, in Little Rock.
Well, then your choice is, do you create it here in Florida and name that person, or do you get some advice from him in Arkansas? Because that person would need professional help, too, probably a little bit on the distribution of the assets. So
I think so.
Yeah, so you could choose, you could get a recommendation for an attorney and hit in the state of the trustee to help you with this.
Okay, so is one state any different or any better than another state?
No, I think for this type of specialized standalone trust for a single purpose, I think it could go either way.
Okay. Answers my question. I'll
All right, talk sir.
To you again. Thank
All right.
you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Phone lines are open. We have 22 minutes left in the show. So if you would like to call in, I'd love to talk to you at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. And the phone lines are open. Let's go to Ray. Hey, Ray.
Hi. I got a broken ankle that's going on 2 years. They want to fuse it. I've had a couple operations that had some nuts and bolts in it, and apparently when they pulled the one big bolt they put in it and they took it out, they found out it was put in the wrong place and it ruined the cartilage, and they want to fuse the ankle now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what recourse I have against the first doctor.
So where are you calling from?
I'm Ron Green Cove.
Green Cove Springs? Up near close to Jacksonville? Okay. All right. Well, so what you would need is a medical evaluation by an attorney who would be willing to say that malpractice was committed on the way the bolt was inserted or, you know, whatever the reason was.
Understood.
And how long ago did this happen?
It's coming on a 2-year anniversary.
And when did you first discover? See, the statute of limitations runs sometimes on the time you had to, the time you actually discovered the problem. So when did you first discover the problem?
Well, that's when it broke, you mean. You mean when I broke it? Or
well, no, the problem of the bolt being inserted wrong.
The last doctor I talked to, he's the one who pulled it out and said, looked at the x-rays, and they must have put it in the wrong place.
Oh, I see.
So this is within the last 8 months.
Okay. Well,
I've been to two other orthopedics and the Mayo. They all seem to have the same opinion that because there was a mistake originally that the you got to fuse it, and the option is stem cells, so that's out of pocket.
All right, so you need a medical malpractice attorney to evaluate the case and see they accept cases if they think they can win, basically, based on the facts. And, of course, they don't accept them because you can run up some huge cost that you might be liable for and they are liable for if you don't. So I could give you the name of a medical malpractice attorney.
I'm listening.
All right, so you have to call me, though, or email me.
Yeah.
You want to email me?
What's your number to your office?
Okay, so I'll give you the 800 number, 1-800-226-3962.
What's your email, just in case?
Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. Actually, email would be more efficient because if you ask me in the email to forward this to a personal injury attorney and have him call you, I can just forward the email to the attorney and then it'd be easier that way, I think, for maybe both of us.
All right. And it's Joe at attytip.
No. P as in Paul, IP as in Paul.com. Just
PIP, okay.
Yeah, first the abbreviation for attorney and the first three letters of my last name, Pippin.
Okay, excellent. Thank you.
All right.
You have a blessed weekend. Bye-bye.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye. All right, let's go to Susan in Largo. Hey, Susan.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Joe.
Yeah, well, good morning to you. So what can we do for you today?
Several questions for you. You've spoken previously about if a person puts another name on, say, a savings account,
mm-hmm.
and that other person has bankruptcy or a suit of some kind, that my assets would be liable because of that suit. My question is, what if that person that's also on my account is incorporated? Does that protect me?
Well, if they can only sue the corporation, if they can only sue the corporation, then your individual assets, I don't think, would be subject to a creditor taking them. But let's say that you put your name on a joint account, you add someone's name to it, and that person has an accident, and the corporation has nothing to do with it, and the account is you or them, then the creditor has access to all of it. So most people, when I ask them, why would you put someone else's name on your account, they will tell me something like they don't want the account to go through probate. Is that why you did it?
No, I haven't done it.
I wouldn't do it. If you want to, if the reason that people do that a lot of times is to avoid probate, you can avoid probate with a trust, keep everything just in your name. Person can, whatever you want to give them, it can pass freely out of the trust to them with no probate very quickly upon your death. And the big advantage also of that is it could be used for your benefit if you became incapacitated before death.
Right, I understand that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Another question would be, you've talked about assets being retitled,
mm-hmm.
and there's a personal service contract that can be done.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have idea as to the cost of a personal service contract?
Okay, now would this be used for Medicaid purposes if a person goes into a nursing home?
Right.
My medic, I don't do those. My Medicaid attorney and my staff does, though, and you could talk to him and he could give you a fee quote for what he charges for it. It might be, okay. I'm just doing from memory, it might be $1,800, but I would guess it's pretty close to that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the person would qualify for Medicaid otherwise? They just have a little bit too much income? Is that the question?
Assets, usually.
Okay.
Would be, for instance, yeah.
Yeah, there's a qualified income trust and a personal service contract. There are two things that come up in a lot of these cases where we can help qualify a person for Medicaid. All right, well, if you want to contact the office, ask for John Frazier is his name.
Okay. All righty.
All right.
Okay. And, yeah, I had, do you have time for another question?
Sure.
I think it'll be a quick one. In a power of attorney document, if there are some things that I would not want to be done with regard to investments and so on and so forth, such as using margin, can that part of the document be deleted in the sense and
yes.
or struck out?
Yes. Yes. But yes. since you mentioned that, that's a common power in a power of attorney because a lot of mutual funds have a tiny element, like less than 1% sometimes, of margins in them. So if you wanted to give someone a power, it's not that they have the power to buy margins, it's just the power to... handle some accounts with margins in them, like mutual funds have a very small element sometimes of that. Sometimes you can worry about things like that too much, and it's not really necessary to worry about it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't give a power of attorney to someone that you don't trust anyway. So if you think someone's going to invest all of your money in margins and lose it all, you wouldn't necessarily, and that's their pattern of investments and so forth, you probably wouldn't give that person the power of attorney to start
right.
with.
Yes, exactly.
All right.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Let's go to Todd in Tampa.
Joe, I just want to ask, I think I know the answer, but I want to know if my a friend of mine took his grandmother out of Puerto Rico before the storm and got her set up over here in Florida, and was just happy about it. So next thing you know, she makes him the power of her, gives him the son, the great son, a power of attorney, for her assets, and everything. And he wasn't even looking for it. So he didn't want any problems with anybody in the family or whatever. So my question is, God forbid something happens to her, okay, just because he has a power of attorney, if he doesn't have a will or a trust set up, that would still go through probate, would it not, or...
Power of attorney is void upon death, and if she dies without any other documents, there would be a statutory probate.
Okay, and doesn't the government take their percentage, or how does that, where does that...
No, the government, the probate cost of the filing fee, the bond, and things like that, advertisement, is, $600 to $700.
Okay.
There's no other cost.
Okay.
There are attorney fees and personal representative fees and things like that, but there'd be a statutory will in place.
Okay, I guess my quick question is, if you were the son who wasn't expecting to be the power of attorney over something over $50,000, would you as the son have documents drawn up so that there's no probate or there's no taxation or
mom needs a will or a trust, one of the two for sure. She would choose which one she wanted.
Okay, well, in your experience, what would you get? What would you advise the son to get, a will or a trust, or what's the difference?
Well, so probably a trust, because trust could be managed for her benefit to avoid guardianship and still avoid probate upon death, and could be done very quick.
Okay.
But
okay.
It's a choice. I like to give the clients a choice. I have a poster sheet that I'll make available to anyone who wants it here in a minute. But
a will or a trust. But what you're saying is, God forbid, upon passing, does the government come in?
No, there's no big government fees. That's kind of a myth.
Okay, so you don't. So even without the will or trust, because it's in the son's name, then.
Oh, no. Okay, hold on. The power of attorney is in the son's name.
Yes, sir. The power of attorney. So the access to the accounts is there. You know, even though.
But that's void upon death.
It's void upon death. That's right. That's
all right. So if the mother dies with the account just in her name, with no will, she has a statutory will where it would go equally to her children, but through a probate process.
Okay.
But she wants to have a will and appoint him as the personal representative, she should do that. Or if she wants to avoid probate of that money and make it really quick and easy, avoid guardianship and probate, she should consider a trust.
Okay. You're the man. Okay, God bless you. Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, thank you. Hey, if you'd like our free estate planning poster sheet, you can get it one of three ways. And this is kind of outlines this last question just perfectly. But you have it all in writing in front of you. It's a large poster sheet with five articles about estate planning. Almost every one of the part of that question, there's explanations of all of what I just said on this poster sheet. Love to mail it to you. If your New Year's resolution is to review your estate plan, get it up to date, or maybe even create a new one, this would be a very helpful sheet for you. You can get it one of three ways. You can call our toll-free number, 1-800-226-3962. You can email me at Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. Joe at attypip.com. You can text me your name and address at 727-667-3967. So let's go to Susan in Lake Wales.
Good morning.
Hey, Susan.
Good morning. Appreciate all your help and your show.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Yes, my question is, recently have a family member who passed that has an irrevocable family trust. And the question is, there is an annuity. It says an IRA annuity.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that the beneficiary is the family trust. And my question is about liquidating that annuity, if there's any kind of, what kind of like tax implications would go along with that, or is it?
Well, it depends on the language in the trust. Usually naming a trust the beneficiary of a retirement account, if there's no special language in the trust, then the trust is not a person and all the taxes would be due at once. So the taxes, unless it's a Roth IRA, then all of the taxes would be doable at once because the money inside the retirement account hasn't been taxed yet. All of the trusts that I prepare that where there's a discussion about if the trust is going to be a beneficiary of an IRA has special tax language in the trust so that the person, the beneficiary, just gets the required minimum distribution. And so, therefore, if only that gets taxed as it comes out. And by doing it that way, there's a way to control the beneficiary so the beneficiary wouldn't get all the money at once or have the choice to spend all the money at once. They'd get it over, you know, a period of time. But the answer to your question can only be answered if an attorney looks at the trust and advises you from that point. Because the language and trust are different. Attorneys draw them differently. If the discussion between the client and the attorney never took place in the about how the IRA was going to be, the trust was going to be a beneficiary of the IRA, there could be some adverse tax situations. If it was all discussed and language was properly put in the trust, you'd be fine.
Okay, so you'd have to check with the attorney.
Or have another attorney review the document, yes. One of the two.
Okay. And it doesn't make any difference whether or not that's they call it, I guess, where you liquidate it, whether it's done now or we understand that you have, I think, a year to do it.
When did the person die?
In December.
Yeah, I would have your you're going to have a CPA involved in this too.
Okay, so you need to
Well, yeah, you can probably get your answer from a CPA or a financial planner if the person had a financial planner that is housing the IRA or an attorney.
Okay.
But I'd get some professional advice from one, if not all of those people, pretty quickly, you know, January, February.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. My pleasure. All right.
Thank you. Have a good night.
All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin. We're down to about 5 minutes left in the show. We do have probably time for one more call. The phone lines are open right now. And you can call us at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Do you want this free estate planning poster sheet? Our local number is 727-586-3306. That's 727-586-3306. If you'd like to listen to this show, it's broadcast again on the 570, 910, 860 radio station Sunday at 5 o'clock. You could go to WeBeam TV, and there'll be, you have a video presentation of an audio, of course, of the radio show and all the questions. Also, it'll be on Facebook and for you to watch, and it'll be on my Ask an Attorney page. If you'd like to join that Ask an Attorney page, I'd love to have you be there. Just send a request. It'll be accepted pretty quickly. We also have a Law Offices of Joseph Pippin page, and I have my personal page. So we're kind of all over Facebook, all over LinkedIn. You can send me a request on any of these. I'd be glad to connect with you. Let's go to Luke in Bradenton.
Yes, hi.
Hey, Luke.
Hi. I'm trying to find out just exactly who is responsible for drainage issues in a subdivision. The HOA is saying it's not their responsibility. The county is saying it's the HOA's responsibility. And Swift Mud is saying it's the HOA's responsibility. The problem is, there's a on the surveys, it said it's a 10-foot drainage easement behind our properties, and there's a sewer that technically is on private property that services the whole line of houses going down the street. Now, there are times when that sewer backs up, and nobody's claiming responsibility for who's supposed to maintain it to make sure it stays clean and the flow is good.
Well, I don't know if I can help you with that on the 1 or 2 minutes we have on the show. I think do you have things in writing from these people?
The county will not give me anything in writing. No one will give you anything in writing. It's like everybody's trying to pass the buck.
Might be that an attorney would, you know, have to follow suit. Are more people than you affected?
Yes, but I'm the only one whose house got flooded during the hurricane. The water in my backyard actually got to almost a foot high and came in through the back doors.
And do you have a denial from your insurance company?
Yes.
And what is their reason?
Their reason is they don't cover groundwater flooding. I would have to have had flood insurance for that, but I'm 33 feet above sea level. However, the drain is behind our property, and naturally, because the drain's there, everything is graded down towards our property.
Well, unfortunately, I think the answer is you're going to have to hire an attorney to figure out who to sue. Because if nobody is admitting to any responsibility of this, you need to establish who is responsible and probably file a lawsuit, because they're going to deny, even if you can kind of determine contractually who's going to be obligated, you know, they're probably still going to deny it and switch it to someone else who's responsible. So it's going to be a lawsuit. Sometimes you file a lawsuit against several people at once to figure out who's going to be eventually be responsible.
I'm really not looking to file a lawsuit.
I know, but you're getting to fix the property fixed, and that might be what's required to do that.
Yeah, that's what I was afraid of.
Yeah.
Is there any...
Luke, I got 30 seconds, so I got to end the show. So
okay,
you can call me off air if you want.
Who I should call?
Yeah, well, you call an attorney that handles this type of matter.
Okay. Would you have any?
Yeah. Why don't you email me and I'll try to find you somebody.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin. Thank you for listening to Ask an Attorney. We'll be on every Saturday morning right at the same time. There's a repeat of the show Sundays at 5 on 570, 910, 860, 930. So you have a great, great weekend. And if you want to call, email me. It's Joe, J-O-E, at A-T-T-Y-P-I-P.com. So long.